So, what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Is this really a good thing? The mullet is making a comeback, according to Vogue. I'll touch on that in a minute. Coming up, we'll discuss the worldwide epidemic of sleep and how it is causing major crises today in our nation. Joining me is retired Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. He's a top law enforcement trainer in the nation. He's also going to be sharing with recent graduates three tips he would give a college graduate today. That, in fact, I think often these tips for college graduates, I love listening to these commencement speeches and guiding principles for life because they're often things that all of us can apply to our life. We'll also discuss whether or not everyone should go to college and also what we can learn about our hopes and dreams and what types of jobs to look for. You're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman will be joining us in just a little bit. Okay, so the mullet is making a comeback. I do not think this is a good thing at all. Can I just say that again? At all. Gentlemen, if you are pondering the mullet of whatever year you may or may not have graduated in, got married in, or just trying maybe to be eclectic, don't do it. I beg you. Oh my gosh. Oh, you saw that many this past weekend? Who's actually seen this? Because I see this and I'm like, dude, this isn't okay. And I'm sorry if your haircut is in the haircut of a mullet right now. I should be mean to you. I should. I'm just saying I should. Okay, high schoolers. Wait, so high schoolers, Lucas, are actually doing this? No. Oh my gosh. Okay, we have to stop this. Okay, this is very lighthearted, but at the same time, you know my first reaction when I saw that Vogue magazine was covering this, that a mullet is making a comeback? No, not the Minnesota mullets, I'm sorry. I realized that, you know what, I feel like this is a part of this whole non-binary LGBTQ agenda. And sure enough, I look at Vogue magazine's article, and they're talking about how it's a business up front and party in the back. And they had their Vogue colors all flashing the rainbow. And sure enough, they talked about how this is the perfect haircut for men, women, and non-binary individuals. So, of course, people are trying to make a big deal about the mullet. Let the mullet be the mullet. Don't politicize it. The mullet's just something awful no one should do, and let's just leave it at that. But here's what's fascinating, and Lucas commented on this, about how this is maybe people's like attempt to be creative and unique, and I think this can be true. Maybe it is a statement scarf, a statement pair of socks, a tie, but please, I am begging you, just don't go for the mullet. If you want to be unique, go for some nice socks. How about guys with long hair? You know, I've been noticing, maybe I have noticed some mullets lately, because I've been looking around the last week or so at just how long some men's hair really is. You know, very few people can pull off the man bun, and I mean, maybe like two of them. Y'all, if I could, I would totally take a pair of scissors and like go around like cutting off all of these man buns that are occurring. You know, I understand COVID was a thing and everyone was doing DIY haircuts. If you didn't want to do it, fine, but guess what? You can go and get a haircut now, or there are plenty of people who have become masters at the at-home haircuts, and I'm sure they would be glad to give you a haircut. Patrick, I don't care if Jesus had long hair. We are not in the time of Jesus. We are not going to go through this long hair trend. I just can't take it. But, you know, as we're talking about college graduation, high school graduation, and so much more today, I was thinking about this mullet from the perspective of we love to make a statement as people. Even if we're people who like to kind of go under the radar, we want to be creative, we want to be unique, but ultimately, where does this all stem from? It stems from our desire as human beings to be seen and to be loved. You see, this whole idea of making a statement, being creative, being unique, has to do with how we relate to other people. And it emphasizes the fact that we are actually created as social human beings. And that's really important for us to understand. So even when someone wears something that totally doesn't match, and let me tell you, for years, my poor mother couldn't stand it. I was always trying to make my clothes work, from polka dots with stripes to you name it, always something creative. You know, I really don't think it was like basically until I graduated from undergrad or college, maybe undergrad, one of the two, that I feel like I started to like hit my stride consistently with clothes. I'm just saying. But here's the reality. All of us have this deep and profound desire to be seen and to be loved. And might I add, not just to be loved, but to be loved unconditionally. This is really important. And so sometimes when people do unique things, such as the awful thing of getting a mullet, please don't get a mullet to find unconditional love. Sometimes when we do these things, we're doing it because we want to know, even if it's something odd, which I think a mullet is odd, just saying, even if it's a mullet, it's sometimes one of those things, or maybe we dye our hair an odd color, or maybe we chop it all off. It's almost sometimes like we're pushing back against the world saying, do you still love me? Will you still accept me? Do you still want to socialize and interact with me in the face of this extreme, unique, and creative statement that I've made? This is what I find so fascinating about the mullet making a comeback. Now, the problem is when we insist on making our statement, force our creativity, and insist on our uniqueness when we pursue a job, when we're raising our families, when we're showing the world our relationships, and when we communicate with others on social media. If a mullet's really what you have to do so that you don't insist on this extremely eclectic job that prevents you from ever having a job, sure. Go with the mullet, despite everything you heard me just say about the mullet. If you're going to insist on raising your family in this really odd, unique way because we stand out, we're creative, we're wonderful, maybe you should just go with the mullet. If you're insistent about showing the world how special you are on social media, maybe just go with the mullet instead. But at the end of the day, don't try to make your statement and all of your creativity and your uniqueness come out in a way that prevents you from living your life in the way that you were called to live it. With truthfulness, with hard work, and with honesty about human nature and who we are. I think that's very important for us to recognize, and who would have thought that the mullet could teach us so much? Coming up here on Trending with Timory, we're going to be discussing college graduates, whether or not someone should go to college to begin with, what types of careers you should look for. And joining me now is Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. He's a top law enforcement trainer in the nation, and he's written a number of books, from talking about the assassination generation to addressing the topic of on killing. He's a top law enforcement trainer in the nation, and we're going to discuss one of his many books today on spiritual combat, where he talks about specifically the issue of how we have a worldwide epidemic of sleep deprivation. You remember, perhaps, that the Lieutenant Colonel joined us a month or two ago to discuss this, but I want to drill down a little harder, and I'd like today, Lieutenant Colonel, to start by discussing this issue of how sleep has become, as you write in your book, a biological blind spot due to modern technologies.
You know, what's happened, Timory? It's so good listening to you. And I want to tag on to what you were saying about the mullet, you know, and wanting to be unique, wanting to be seen. And when we talk about going to college, just come back to that topic. But this, you know, and just do an online search for a global epidemic of sleep deprivation. This intrusive media, the incredibly addictive games, the constant text messaging, the one factor that's happening is just our lack of sleep. And Jesus needed sleep. We know he was sleeping on the boat as they were going across the sea and the waves were crashing. And they said, Master, wake up. Well, you know, don't you even care? You know, I got this image. And we talked about it in the book on spiritual combat, quoting a neat blog. And she said, I have this image of him getting up a little sleepy and groggy and grumpy and saying, peace, be still, you know, and then going back to sleep, you know, that Jesus needed sleep. It's a biological need. We need food, we need water, we need sleep, but our bodies don't know how to make us get enough sleep because it always happened naturally. It got dark and there was nothing else to do. And so this addiction to the games, this dynamic of text messaging all night long, this is a fun to television all night long and binge watching. You know, the head of Netflix has said that their number one competitor is not other providers. Their number one competitor is sleep.
Sleep, yeah.
And so the corporate policy of these corporations is to steal your sleep. And they don't care that it's killing you. Sleep deprivation takes years off your life. It contributes greatly to heart disease. Good data showing that it leads to cancer. Some really good data showing that sleep deprivation across a lifetime could be a factor in Alzheimer's.
You know, and just as a brief side note, yeah. Lieutenant Colonel, you know this yourself, and that's Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman here on Trending with Timmery. My husband worked in Silicon Valley for a while, and people should know that across the board, the leaders of these tech companies who are saying what you just said, Lieutenant Colonel, that their number one competitor is sleep, they do not allow their children any technology.
Yes.
They're sending
yes.
their kids to classical schools, classical yes. education, zero engagement with technology. I think that's really important for us to recognize.
You know, it's really like the tobacco industry. My dad started smoking, I think it was 1940 when he was 5 years old, plunked a nickel on the quarter counter, got a pack of cigarettes and rolling papers and rolled his first cigarette. And when he's 5 years old, hey, kid, you know, candy rots your teeth. Tobacco's good for you. And the tobacco industry fought tooth and nail, decade after decade, to sell tobacco to children. But you can bet anything you want, they didn't let their kids smoke. You understand? They know they're poisoning us. And here's the right. key factor. Worldwide, traffic deaths have exploded. And the new factor in traffic deaths is sleep deprivation. But nobody wants to talk about it. You know, the automobile industry embrace the fact that, you know, children shouldn't be driving cars. What a great idea. Kids shouldn't drive cars. But the cell phone industry is deeply invested in saying your kid needs a cell phone. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. And they're deeply invested in saying, well, there's technology that will solve this problem. No, it's parental guidance right up front protecting our children. Sleep deprivation is a key factor in traffic deaths, a major killer of our kids. I had three teenage boys. Now I have teenage grandchildren. My oldest grandson just went off to college, just finished his first year in college. We'll talk about that. And he just totaled a car. You know, it seems like teenage boys' superpower is to break a car. And I had three teenage boys going to college, growing up, and I made sure they all had cars with airbags. You know, it was new technology at the time. I didn't have a lot of resources, but if I got a car, obviously, I made sure they always had their seatbelt on. Nobody ever told me the most important thing was to have a good night's sleep the night before they get behind the wheel of a vehicle. And then the other thing that's exploded, two major causes of deaths of our kids, our college kids, our teenagers, is traffic deaths and suicides. And we know that sleep deprivation is a key factor in suicides. The primary thing to understand is sleep deprivation creates impaired judgment.
Yes.
You're stupid. You do stupid things. You haven't got self-control. You know, airline pilots and truck drivers and a dozen other professions are required by law to get enough sleep. And the airline pilots, you know, when they make a mistake, a plane load of people die. If they make an error in judgment, it's not acceptable for them to be sleep deprived. But we really need to apply that same logic. And when it comes to our children and, you know, my grandson just wrecked a car coming home from college, and we looked at all the angles, and you know, he learned it. He got a lot of information from his own self-growth out of that. Thank goodness he survived. But this dynamic of suicide, which just terrify us, and that sleep and the link of sleep deprivation is suicide, and bad quality sleep. It's so important that you teach your teenagers to sleep in a totally dark room. Babies are sloshing with melatonin. Babies can sleep anywhere. But by the time we become teenagers, the body produces less and less melatonin. And it's really important we sleep in a totally dark room. So what do? We We stay up all night Friday night, all night Saturday night, you know, binge watching TV, playing video games with friends. And when do we sleep? The next day when the sun's coming in the window and you're getting bad quality sleep. Okay. And that can be as much of a killer as no sleep at all. Mm-hmm. So teaching them to maintain some decent hours, you know, give them an extra hour on Friday night, give them an extra hour on Saturday night. But no more than that, and teach them to get that good, solid night's sleep. Make it a part of who they are and what they do, and burn it into their neurons as a survival mechanism. And again, I told the story last time. I think it's worth repeating. These suicides of our teenage girls, teenage girls' suicide rate has tripled per capita in America in just the last decade. And the new factor is the sleep deprivation. So a cop came up to me during a break in one of our presentations. He said, I had a good girl. He said, she was an A student. She said, Dad, it's embarrassing. You don't have to take my cell phone every night. You can trust me. He said, so I trust her a little. Keep her cell phone. A little while later, she took her life. He said, my little girl took her life. And we never knew the hell she was living in until we looked at the text messages on her cell phone, night after night of ceaseless, relentless, vicious bullying. And he can't just ignore that stuff. We're not wired that way. He said it was heartbreaking. She's up all night long, night after night, trying to defend herself, trying to find somebody to stand up for her and help her. And he said, I understood my little girl was bullied to death. What I didn't understand until now, she was sleep deprived, tortured and tormented to death in front of my eyes, and I let it happen. He said, I can't ignore that text message in the middle of the night. How can we expect our children to? Every piece of technology has to be digested. We had automobiles for 50 years before people said kids shouldn't be driving these things. Mm-hmm. And we're going to hit a point where we're going to say kids shouldn't have cell phones, or we should have extreme limitations on the cell phones. And people who text you in the middle of the night without a darn good reason are not your friends. Friends right. Don't text people in the middle of the night unless it's a life and death issue. You tell them, don't do that again, yeah. or I will and block you.
You know, even
friends,
as an adult,
don't do that to friends.
Yeah. Even as an adult, I put my phone in airplane mode because I assume people are going to contact me when they shouldn't, and I'll be tempted to look. And, you know, I put it in a drawer, I put it on airplane mode, and I try to stand far away from it. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Relevant Radio. You're listening to Trending with Tim Ray with Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. He's a top law enforcement trainer in the nation, the author of multiple books, from Assassination Generation to On Killing, and also the book on spiritual combat. In that book, you list a few statistics that people might not realize the significance of the lack of sleep. You mentioned that it causes impaired judgment, but you note that just after 18 hours, your impaired judgment is the same as the level that we're not allowed legally to drive with. That is a 0.08 blood alcohol content. You then list 24 hours. We then have impaired judgment with basically the same equal to a 0.10 blood alcohol content. But then you say after two nights without sleep, we become psychotic and you can actually even hallucinate. Now, this is significant. I want to bring this back to the topic of kids yet again, because video game industry is intentionally creating what you've referred to as the flow state, intentionally yes. to cause people to really maintain in this exact level of inability to make proper decisions. Can you speak a little bit to this idea of the flow state?
You know, and that's their goal, is to make these games addictive. A lot of us old timers remember Tetris, right? We're 100 generations beyond Tetris. Think Tetris on steroids with crack. And so what I tell people is there's nothing wrong with adults playing any games. Children absolutely strictly monitor the rating system, but limit ourselves. And I tell people it's no more than an hour. Set a timer, ding, the timer goes off, and use your discipline. And people say, well, I play a major metamorphic online game. You can't do anything an hour or two a night. That's okay. Decide now what's important. Is your family important? Is your profession important? Your school important? Your job important? Your health important? Your children important? Is your vow of marriage important? Is your oath as a peace officer? Or is that game important? Decide now, because that game is actually important. It's cool. You just give up on life, move into your parents' basement, draw unemployment, buy a giant economy-sized bag of Cheetos, play video games all night long. Millions of people are doing that. But if you want to honor God, if you want to uphold your responsibilities, you got to get those games under control. And, you know, I talk to our military audience. I have an audience of 200 military, 200 cops. And about one out of four look at me like a deer in the headlights. Say, man, you're talking to me. And I said, that's okay. Nobody ever told you this before. Now you know.
Right.
And you know darn well I'm right. And you know you can't keep doing it that way. These games are designed to be addictive, impossible to turn off. And you have to start maintaining that discipline. Block out an hour, ding, the timer goes off. Use your discipline, save the game, and do the most important thing you can do to be a good citizen, to make sound judgments, to be spiritually centered. And that's getting a good night's sleep. It is so critically important. And make it a quality night's sleep. Try to do it in a truly dark room. The sleep mask, when we talk about heading off to college in a minute, we'll talk about my gift to my grandson when he headed off to college. But wearing a sleep mask, a truly dark room, cut off caffeine shortly after lunch. It's a terribly important dynamic. And part of my advice to that college student is to monitor your caffeine use and your alcohol, and most important, of course, become sleep. But we can do this. We can regain control. God gives us the strength if we call out to him. God gives us the strength to overcome these addictions. I was on a podcast recently with a fellow, a cop, who overcame a heroin addiction, a opiate addiction, and recently he overcame a caffeine addiction. Mm. And he said kicking caffeine in many ways was harder than opiates. In many ways, it took longer, it was harder. Caffeine's a useful, powerful drug, but it can be addictive and destructive if we don't use it right. And these mega doses of caffeine and these energy drinks, we've got to limit what we're doing with those things and to flow our caffeine in our lives and get quality sleep, get a good night's sleep, monitor your sleep time. And I tell everybody, if I could give you one gift, I'd give you a Fitbit. And you track your sleep hours, and it will just download the app, wear this thing around your wrist. It will track your sleep hours, and it will tell you that you've been getting 4 hours of sleep for the last month. You can't keep going this way. And adults need at least 7 hours of sleep a night. The data's there. Our bodies, we can't get by on less food, you'll eventually die. We can't get by on less water, you'll eventually die. And we can't get by on anything more than the minimum level of sleep, or it will destroy you.
That's Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. I just want to emphasize, if you're struggling with sleeplessness, and maybe you have for years, don't give up. Look for answers. Find them. Have boundaries. Set a schedule. Make a plan. We'll come right back, and we'll discuss the 3 tips that Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman would give a college graduate. Also, should everyone go to college, and what job should you look for? We'll be right back here on Trending with Timmery. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Retired Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman joins me today during Trending. We're going to be discussing you. Are you a recent graduate? What tips and tricks we have up our sleeves? Is college for everyone? Should you go to college? We'll also discuss if you should follow your hopes and dreams. And we'll discuss what jobs to search for. Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman joins us now, and he's a top law enforcement trainer in the nation. He's written multiple books, from Assassination Generation to On Spiritual Combat and On Killing. And today, I would like for you, Lieutenant Colonel, to share with us 3 tips you would give a college graduate.
You know, I tell you, the first thing is to seek out a college that supports and affirms the values you grew up with. You know, your parents, the college your parents went to may not be the same college anymore. You know, there's an acid test out there, as far as I'm concerned, and it's abortion. Yeah, if the college advocates, the third trimester abortion of children, This is not a place where we belong. We need to, as parents, invest our money, and as children, seek out a place that will reassess and reaffirm our values. You know, you were talking before about mullets and man buns and how you want to seem special. You want the uniqueness. And a lot of people are seeking uniqueness in their religion. And I tell people that God's not hiding under a rock somewhere. If somebody says they found God under a rock and they're the only ones that know God, or them and a handful of friends are the only ones that know God, well, your God is not much of a God if the only people that know about him is a handful of people out there. If there was a God, he would be known around the world. Millions and billions would worship him and know him. And God didn't just show up all of a sudden. He would have history that reaches all the way back. You know, I love the Catholic Church from the very beginning. The first pope was one of the disciples, and we can track the church across the history. God didn't just appear out of nowhere a few years back, and he's not hiding under a rock. If there was a God of the universe, if there was a loving God, who has omnipotence but has given us free will, then he would have his church in every city in the world. He would have his word in every hotel room. Just start off with a foundation of faith as you go to college and seek a college that reaffirms that faith and those values. And the thing of it is that we are special in God's eyes. It's just the power of God and the relationship of every one of us is so unique and so powerful. I introduce the idea of being God's sheepdog, and we are adopted into God's family. And we're to go to God with the blood of Jesus having cleansed us, and we can go out there as an adopted member of the family. But I feel like the prodigal son sometimes. I just go to him and say, you know, Father, just give me the lowest job, your lowest sin. And sometimes I think I can be God's dog. I can be God's faithful dog, you know, loving him. And my dog, if I let her loose in the backyard, she'll find something stinky to roll in, and she'll run into the neighbor's yard if I don't keep her on a leash. But I don't hate her. I know that's in her nature. I still love her. But that concept of staying with your faith throughout your life and seeking a college that reaffirms that faith, and not, and again, if their God is some new age God that they discovered suddenly, then their God is not much of a God if you can't track his history across thousands of years. So number one, again, is stand by your faith and reaffirm and reestablish and strengthen your faith in college. And parents, don't spend your money on a college that's going to brainwash your children. You have control and influence over that. When you talk about college and jobs, and one of the things, you know, I told my grandson, now he and I both like role-playing games, but I told him from the youngest age, don't play evil. Evil is not something to play at. Play good. Seek to do good deeds. Immerse yourself in goodness in your play. And be wary of other people who want to play role-playing games and want to be evil. Evil is not something we play with. Evil is what we fight and what we seek out, and we defend people from evil. But I told him that you should, with any luck, children, they say that a child born today will have an average life expectancy of 120 years. No baloney. And my grandson going to college, he should count on at least 100 years. So I tell him, think of your life as a great, big, long, deeply detailed role-playing game. And you are in the process of laying a foundation for your character right now. And that foundation is college. You get the most out of it. Dedicate yourself, study, focus. But also, you know, one good thing to do is look at the military and getting a real foundation of self-discipline and skills and things that can come out of the military. It's something to consider. But again, college-military combination thereof, because the military is a great way to pay for college. And you say, well, I can go to this cheap college over here, but their values and the virtues are not of God. Maybe this more expensive college I can't afford, but the military, go to the military and get that foundation of discipline and structure in your life, and then go to that job. Then use the GI Bill, use the military college fund that you can invest in and come out and then go to that college. But the career college dynamic together is very important, and the military is something you should take into consideration every step of the way. But after we choose a college that is virtuous and honorable and reaffirms the values that we believe in, the next thing I tell you, I know we're coming back full cycle, but it's sleep. Mm-hmm. Suicide and traffic deaths are killing our kids. They're exploding. And we know sleep deprivation is a key factor in that. I sent my grandson had heard me preach it. He's heard my classes. He's read my books. He went off to college last fall. And my gift, one of my gifts to him, was just a couple of the best sleep masks. There's one I like on Amazon. It's Amazon's choice for a sleep mask. There's another one that's also gave him two different sleep masks. And I said, I ask you one thing. Use this when you sleep every night. Get quality sleep, if nothing else. Try to watch your sleep. Get enough sleep. The sleep deprivation, so many temptations are pulling you away. And just dedicate yourself to getting that sleep every night and to making it quality sleep with that sleep mask. And the other part of that equation then is, the third thing I'd say is alcohol and caffeine. We cut off caffeine shortly after lunch, and the energy drinks are condensed poison. You know, we now have 20 years of war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I've worked with our troops from day one. For the first 15 years, we passed out these energy drinks like water. They gave us, we gave them the troops. Aren't we nice guys? And then 5 years ago, two major Department of Defense studies on the energy drinks. And today, for all practical purpose, there is a complete ban on issuing these energy drinks to U.S. Armed Forces. They're like cigarettes. You know, there's nothing good in them. You're an adult. We're not going to stop you from buying it. We'll never buy it for you. We'll never give it to you. In an academic environment, the one taking the most energy drinks were the ones with the worst grades. In a tactical environment, the one pounding down the most energy drinks were the ones most likely to nod off on the job. All there is in those things is a mega dose of caffeine and some stuff that makes you metabolize it quickly. It will give you a one-hour burst of ability before a PT test, before an athletic event, one energy drink. Not a bad idea. Not before you work out every day. It's for that one special time, maybe that one game a week when you need that boost. And then get cut it off. All they're doing with the second, third, and fourth energy drink is building your addiction and your tolerance to the drug. And again, with people who are profoundly addicted to caffeine, pounded down four or five, get a six-pack of energy drinks every night, when they go cold turkey, some of them are going to seizures. I had just on a podcast with a guy who talked about how, you know, he had to come down off of opiates after being injured on the job as a cop. Mm-hmm. And coming down off of caffeine recently was in many ways even harder. And so manage your caffeine. Coffee and tea appear to be pretty good first. A couple of cups of coffee at breakfast or tea, a cup or two at lunch, and then switch to decaf. Have all you want. And then the alcohol. You know, there's nothing wrong with a glass of wine as an adult at dinner. You know, there may be nothing wrong with a beer, but much more than that. And alcoholism truly is a biological, physiological impact that happens to your body. And binge drinking, especially binge drinking at a young age, is one of the ways that you can contribute to this horrible, horrible biological dynamic of alcoholism. So limit your alcohol. Don't binge drink. Be the guy that's the designated driver. And truly, no more than one beer or two at dinner, a glass of wine or two. But drunkenness in the Bible over and over again, we're told to abhor it, to not lose control, and to limit alcohol and to manage it. But the things that are destroying our children is, number one, going to schools that don't affirm their values. Number two, not getting what their body needs. And first and foremost, that's sleep. And then number three is the caffeine addiction and the alcohol addiction, caffeine abuse and alcohol abuse, and keeping those things under control. And of course, like I said, the whole goal is it lay a foundation for your character. It'll let a glorious, godly, wonderful, lifelong role-playing game. And at the end of the game, and we're going to stand before God. And at the end of my book on spiritual combat, I talk about the movie Saving Private Ryan.
Right.
And that old World War II veteran stands over the graves of comrades, and he looks at his family, and he said, "Tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've led a good life." And then one day we're going to stand before the Father and say, "Lord, tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've led a good life." And only through the blood of Jesus can our sins be forgiven, and we can be embraced by the Father. But we're going to take this glorious life, and we're going to dedicate ourselves towards doing good and to reaffirming those values and virtues that have been established across the thousands of years of history.
There's a commencement speech. Wow, what a commencement speech for any recent graduate, especially college graduates. Well, and I think to emphasize, this emphasizes in your life freedom. Freedom by choosing a university that is not going to remove the rights of your faith, the right to pursue your faith and to keep it as a fundamental element of who you are. You know, freedom and to make sure that you get enough sleep so that you don't have impaired decision making, that you're not slacking in life. And finally, freedom so that alcohol and caffeine don't impair your decision making, exhaust you, and so much more. And so I think these are three incredible things that all of us can take into our lives to be a little more serious with how we go about achieving our goals. That's Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman here on Trending with Timory. He can be found really by his incredible books, everything from Assassination Generation to On Killing. And by the way, I really recommend parents read the book Assassination Generation. And finally, one of his most recent books, along with many others, is On Spiritual Combat. We'll post links to these in the show notes at relevantradio.com/trending. That's Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. We'll be back here in just a minute. We'll discuss whether or not everyone should go to college and whether or not you should pursue your hopes and dreams in light of St. Joseph.
Timory will be right back. You can reach her on Instagram and Twitter at Timory. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Congratulations to all of you graduates from high school, college, graduate school. You've worked incredibly hard, and I hope that we recognize those achievements. But the question's always there. What do we do next? I want to talk about a few things that I think are very important. Everything from, should everyone go to college? What kind of job should I look for? And what can we learn about our hopes and dreams from St. Joseph? First, let's address the topic of whether or not everyone should go to college, because this is actually something I've become more and more passionate about over the last few years. But let me tell you a story. This weekend, I was at an event, and I was across from a 16-year-old girl, and, you know, she's heading into her senior year, and we're talking about everything that's going to happen. I say, "Hey, have you started looking at colleges yet?" And she, very awkwardly and uncomfortably, is like, "Oh, no." And we continue to talk. So, "Well, do you know kind of what you'd want to do? What are you thinking?" I said, "I know it's a lot all at once over this next year." She said, "Well, to be honest, I'm not sure that college is for me." Now, sitting next to me was a medical doctor, a woman medical doctor. And I was really fascinated to see how this would go down. I looked at the girl and I said, "Well," I said, "let's talk about it a little bit more." I said, "You know, I actually don't believe that everyone should go to college, and I actually believe that we need to have a deeper conversation with women from an earlier age, at least starting early on in high school, about college, about the fact that we have the potential to have children, about the reality of student loans, and about the type of work someone would or would not want to do." And I think it's important, too, because the type of work many women in particular want to do will often be work that will take them in and out of the workforce based on children, and also allow them flexibility for unique hours and limited hours. And for men, it's a different conversation when it comes to education. So here are three things that I think we need to start with. Answering the question, should everyone go to college? Number one, take off the pressure. No, not everyone should go to college. Number two, we need to discuss whether or not everyone can afford college. Because there are many people suffering under crippling student loan debt today. I'll never forget some years ago, I was at the restaurant P.F. Chang's. And as I was sitting there, this woman continued to mess up our order over and over and over again. And as I was beginning to become extremely frustrated, I took a good look at the woman. I looked at her and I said, "You're exhausted, aren't you?" Rather than getting a little frustrated. And she said, "I am." And next thing you know, she starts pouring out the fact that she has crippling student loan debt. She's working three jobs. This is her night job. And she's just trying to make ends meet to pay off her student loans and live in a rather expensive city of San Diego. And I looked at her and I just thought, here is a woman, like so many others, who's having to engage in waitressing and other side jobs in order to fill in the gap to pay for student loans. I know so many people have been grateful for a little reprieve of student loans over the last year or so due to COVID. That won't always be forever, but I think it needs to continue to address the question of when you ask whether or not everyone should go to college, no, not everyone should, and two, not everyone can afford it, and we have to be honest about that. Whether that means if you are going to college using a hybrid from community colleges and then transferring after a couple of years to a university, maybe you're not starting college until you actually know what you want to study and have a practical way you can accomplish that work that matches up with what you studied after graduating. Number three, we really need to ponder what you want to do may not require that you go to college. You might be able to go directly into the workforce. There might be a trade school or even some sort of certification that can take you right into the career of your choice. There's so many programs that people aren't talking about. I'm tired of people feeling forced into student loan debt, forced into four-year degrees, and even forced into a master's degree. Unfortunately, today, the little-known secret not a lot of people tell you is that often, certain jobs, they don't just want an undergraduate degree from you, they also want a master's degree. It's putting more and more pressure on young people today. And the only way we're going to push back against the wrong cultural absolute of college for everyone, both male and female, is by recognizing that not everyone has to go. Not everyone can afford it, and what you want to do may not require it. There's nothing wrong with going straight into the workforce. What matters most is that we're recognizing that we have good character, a good work ethic, and we're providing for those entrusted to our care. And at times, that may be just ourselves, and at other moments, it might be more than that. So let's, I think, just drill down for just a moment on the topic of women in college, because I think it's very important. We shouldn't just treat women the same way we do men when it comes to college. I don't care if you think this is sexist. The reality is that sex matters. And as women, we have the capability to carry a child for 9 months. And we have the capability to nourish our children. And the bottom line is, kids need their moms. And so, as people suffer under crippling student loan debt and pressure to stay in a job that requires them to be full-time, I think it's important that we recognize that we need to have honest conversations about pressure that certain career choices and educational choices could place on women long-term. Think about what you want to study in light of having a family. Think about options for adaptable work. Think about, yes, and I think it's great, but we shouldn't scare everyone out of this. So often I feel some women who would like to start a family sooner rather than later and say they don't want to go to college are sometimes scared into the idea of having to go to college because what if? What if you're left alone? What if your spouse dies? What if? And they go through these litany of things, and I understand that. I think it is important to bring up because the truth of the reality is that life happens and there are many instances where women have to provide and care for their families in ways that they didn't think they'd have to do alone. But that doesn't mean that we should choose a college path out of forced decision about a hypothetical situation. And that doesn't mean that there aren't programs that are excellent that don't require a four-year degree, that don't necessarily require crippling student loan debt. And by all means, go to college if that is what is for you. But what I'm saying is that we have to have honest conversations with women and give them real options. And as for young men, not all men want to go to college. Many men are floundering, flunking out, and many men and women are taking forever to finish. And it's not just a work ethic, although that's a major issue. It's also the fact that college wasn't for them, and we need to present more options of trade schools, vocational schools, certifications, and so much more. And hey, what happened to work-life experience? It goes a long way. I had incredible jobs while I was in college, out of college, after grad school, while in grad school. Why? Because a good work ethic, work-life experience, all of these things go a long way in building a resume. And it's important that we talk about all of this. So when we discuss the issue, and if you're just joining us, you're listening to Trending with Timory here on Relevant Radio, this could be the episode to send to a recent graduate from high school, college, master's, PhD, you name it. What kind of job now should I look for? This is a great question. Today we live in a crisis where many people just graduating from university face the great challenge of a job market that isn't quite what they hoped for. Also, maybe they can't find a job in the field that they've spent 4 years studying. So what kind of job should I look for? Well, look for something that you can do. And that might not even mean that it's what you studied in college. Look for something that you're going to have a good work ethic about. You're not going to be sure, and I think it's important to recognize that there's not going to be any perfect job where we have the perfect reality of everything we're experiencing and we love everything that we do. You know, a lot of people say that happens for few people, and if it does happen, it often happens far later on in your life. Why does this matter? Because we get it wrong. We think that we live to work and we don't work to live. In fact, we talked about this here on Monday on Trending. Is there such a thing as work-life balance? My answer was no, and you should go listen to the podcast. We'll post a link to it on social media right now, and we'll also post a link to it in the show notes for today. But here's the reality. When you're looking for a job, be realistic. You may have this aspiration as you graduate from university to be, I don't know, maybe an executive at a marketing firm. The reality is you're not going to be an executive right outside of university. Heck, you might not even be a manager. You might just be the runt. The lowest on the totem pole, helping to do some social media posts as you build your way up to a higher level strategic marketing position. That's just one example. That's why we have to emphasize that sometimes we have to do the work to work our way up. Yes, we put in the work in university, but that doesn't mean we have a right to the job that is idealistically the perfect thing we want. And so what kind of job should you look for? Something that you want to do. And be adaptable. Don't just choose your dream job. It's important. You should also choose something that will help you to build your career. And also recognize at the end of the day, as we choose what type of job I should look for, make sure it's something you'll have a good work ethic about. And you'll uphold a good, strong character. Finally, I want to briefly address the topic of hopes and aspirations. Because so often people tell you, follow your dreams and you will be happy. That's great, but following our dreams can sometimes be unrealistic. For example, a 5-year-old often dreams of being Spider-Man, of saving the world. For example, a 12-year-old might dream of being a paramedic. A 17-year-old might dream of becoming an attorney. We can have a lot of dreams, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we ourselves have the skill set or the means to get there. Does that mean we give up on our hopes and dreams? No. That means that as life goes on, we adapt. We grow. We allow those hopes and dreams to be transformed and to become something in particular that is realistic, practical, and achievable. I think about this in light of Saint Joseph. Saint Joseph had hopes and dreams for his life. And his new bride, he discovers, is pregnant. And he doesn't know how, and he thinks about setting her aside secretly. Why? Well, he had respect for her, so he was going to do it quietly, but also, he wanted to be able to move on with his life. He had hopes and dreams, but what did he do? He did the right thing. He did the responsible thing. He did the thing that God had in store for him. He set aside, perhaps, his hopes and dreams, and followed a new path that was practical and realistic in light of the life circumstances that were put in front of him. He followed divine inspiration in his decision making. Let's try to be practical and realistic and lovingly and respectfully accept the situation and circumstances that we find ourselves in, just like Saint Joseph did. And we now see that he is a great saint. He became the legal father on earth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, an incredible intercessor today for all of us. So let us pray to him for his intercession as we ponder our education and career goals and vocation. I'll be back tomorrow on Thursday for our weekly marriage hour here on Trending.